I was just saying when I sat back down to my husband, I thought, oh gosh, I hope I can stand up here and share, because I felt like I was getting hammered by the Holy Spirit, because I think I've had three people this morning separately give prophecy and give a word, and it's the message I'm speaking, and I just know that this is a message for the church. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. And sometimes when the Lord gives you a scripture, like when I first was looking at my Bible and, Lord, what is it you want me to bring? And I really felt the Lord gave me this scripture here in Acts 3. And when I first looked at it, I didn't really understand what it was I was supposed to share about. And I looked at it and I thought, Lord, what is it you want me to bring? And, you know, it can be so tempting just to go and Google it and to try and get what's the meaning of that scripture. What's someone else's interpretation? But, you know, when it says that we're supposed to meditate on the word, that's what it is, that we meditate on that word. And I just had that word for a while and I'd think on it. I'd be asking the Lord, what is it you're trying to show me? And you know, at the end of that week, God just gave me a revelation on that scripture. And you know, it's so good when you get your own revelation and it's fresh and it's not someone else's, but it's what God's showing you. But I believe that it's a word for the church. So I hope that you get something out of it. But I'm just going to pray before I start. Mighty Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that your name is power, Lord. Lord, that we have victory in your name, Lord, that we have the promise of a hope and a future in you, Lord. And I just pray right now, Lord, over this word, Lord. Lord, that just as it's given me revelation, Lord, that it will just give revelation to your church, Lord, that it will just bring life, Lord, that we'll be able to go forward in your name, Lord, and do what you've purposed in your heart for each one of us. We just thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Where we're living at the moment, we've just had a really nice path, like a footpath put in, so you can sort of walk along a little bit of a track. And it's quite nice because before they put the concrete down, it was just dirt, so you couldn't really ride your bike and you had to like kind of ride a bit and then lift it over a tree that was across the path and then keep going. And, you know, the other morning we were going for a walk and we're just having a chat and just talking about how, you know, some things, there's some circumstances in some people's lives, you know, because it says that the enemy goes round seeing who he can destroy and who he can devour. And there's some things that people go through in their lives. And we're just talking about that some things that people go through and it's ended up being their message and their testimony. And even though they've gone through something so terrible that God has used it for his glory and it's now setting other people free in that same situation and circumstance. But then there's other people who'll go through that same trial or that same difficulty, but it will keep them bound or it will keep them in that same position, you know, and they never ever kind of go forward or enter in or come to the presence of God because of that thing. And we're just chatting like that the other day, and when we got to the end of the nice concrete path, you know, it kind of comes a point where it's suddenly a road. You've got to cross the road. And I was going to call my message today, Stop, Look and Listen and Go. Because, you know, when you're a kid and you've got to cross a road, there's three things you learn: to stop, look, listen, right? And, you know, when you come and you've got to make that crossing and you've got to go or you've got to advance or whatever it is, you've got to make that decision. You stop, you look, you listen. And then for your own survival, if it's safe, you go. Or you can stay. You can stay put and never move and never go across and never enter in. And, you know, in the whole Word of God, the whole Bible, the whole purpose is so you could come. That you could come and be in fellowship and come and be in the presence of God. We're never meant just to sit on the outside or be on the outer court. God wants us to come into the Holy of Holies, amen? To have relationship. And so if you just want to turn in your Bibles this morning to Acts 3, and this is a story of the lame man healed. And I'm sure you've probably all heard this story, and I just want to share what I believe the Lord showed me anyway. So I'll just start from verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. And for those who entered the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?" You know, so often people want to look to man, don't they, for the supernatural. They look to man or they want to follow a ministry. But further down in the scripture, in verse 16, it says, "And his name," through faith in his name, not in any man, but in Jesus Christ, faith in him. It says, "In his name," verse 16, "has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So I'm just going to go through, and we'll just go through this scripture anyway, and I'll just show you what I believe the Lord was saying. So message today, stop, look, listen, and go. If you're writing a note, if you don't get anything else out of this message today, just remember those three words, or four words. Stop, look, listen, go. And that's the survival guide for, I suppose, crossing a road. This is our survival guide if we want to rise up and move forward in the things of God. So stop. I just want to go back to verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, who they laid daily at the gate of the temple," which is called Beautiful, "to ask alms," to basically to beg from those who entered the temple. You know, I couldn't get past that scripture because I really felt the Lord speak to me. And he said, you know, it is never God's intention for you to be sitting outside the temple, for you to be sitting outside the presence of God. And so number one, stop. We've got to stop positioning ourselves outside. Whatever your circumstances or your situation or whatever is causing you to position yourself outside the gates, sometimes the enemy will make you feel that you're not worthy, that you're not good enough, that it's something that's disqualifying you from entering into the presence of God. We've got to stop and know that God has wanted us to come. He did everything so that we would come. He gave his life so we could come. And we need to enter in and have fellowship and relationship. So every day, this lame man, so he was carried to that same position every day to that same gate outside the temple to beg. And, you know, sometimes it's really easy in life because we get really good at doing what we know. And we got really good to go into that same place that we know, like the familiar, where it kind of feels comfortable. And we don't. And when we get comfortable, we don't really want to kind of get up or get out of that spot. Or sometimes you feel that you can't get out of that spot, that you're kind of stuck. And it could be something from your past that keeps you stuck in that moment. Maybe something that someone said that you feel like, oh, I'm never going to amount to anything because I've been told my whole life I'm never going to be anything. But I want to tell you today that Jesus made you in his image and his likeness. And he's got a purpose for you. And he's given you a hope in the future. And you can be set free. It's just whether you want to break free today, because God wants you to break free. He wants you to come and to rise up and to move forward in the things of him. And I was actually thinking, you know, even we get really good at even saying the right thing, don't we? Like sometimes I think good at hiding what's really going on. And so we can pray and we sound, well, that sounds like a really good prayer. That sounds really godly. We can worship. We can sing worship songs. But, you know, our heart may not reflect what our words are saying. And I just believe that the Lord's saying that it's time that our words have got to align with what's in our heart. Our words have to align with what's in our heart. And there's a scripture, just got to find where it is, in Matthew 15:8. And it talks about people that honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know, the funny thing is we hear the talk. We hear this speak and it sounds good, but you know, God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. There's nothing hidden from God. And we can try and put on that masquerade, we can try and hide things, but God actually looks at our heart. And we've got to get those words that we speak to align with what's in our heart. God wants intimacy. God wants relationship. He never intended you to be on outside the temple, outside his presence. You know, he died for all so that all would come. And the enemy will do anything, anything to make you feel inferior, anything to make you feel not worthy, anything to make you feel not good enough. And it's interesting because we went to New Zealand probably, must be a month ago now. where a friend of ours just got absolutely radically set free, and set free from every addiction of drugs. And it was funny because I was in that meeting in the church and I really felt the Lord speak to my heart. And even the pastor came up and said, I feel like you've got a word, but he pointed to my husband. And I didn't want to go, oh, it's actually me. But I just sort of sat there and he came again and he pressed more and Ronald's like, no, I don't have a word. And then anyway, when he walked away, I leant over and said, oh, I've actually got a word. And he's going, tell him. And I'm like, oh, no. Anyway, I got told off at the end of the meeting by the pastor because I went and spoke to him. But what the Lord showed me, and I've shared this in church before, is that when Christ died for us, it says that he was the perfect Lamb of God. He died while we are still sinners. And, you know, in the Old Testament, they used to have a lamb or an animal they used to bring into the high priest. And because it had to be a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. And they would come with that animal to the priest for forgiveness of sins. And that priest, he would never actually look at the person. He would look at that animal to make sure it was out without blemish, without spot, that it was actually perfect, that it was good enough for that sacrifice and for the forgiveness of sins. And so they would then take that animal once it was deemed good enough, and then that person was cleansed, or he was forgiven once that animal went through that sacrifice. And Jesus Christ, when he went on the cross, he was the perfect Lamb of God. So when we come before him and we ask for forgiveness, the Father looks at this perfect Lamb of God, and it's without blemish, without spot, and it's good enough and it's perfect, and we're forgiven. And it's not actually about us, because sometimes we feel like God will never forgive me, I can never come to the Lord, I can never be set free. But when we come, the Father looks at that sacrifice on the cross and it was perfect. He was a perfect Lamb of God and it was good enough. And so if the enemy tries to tell that you're not good enough and that you don't qualify and that God can never forgive you, you've got to say, but Jesus was good enough. He was the perfect Lamb and he went on your account. He paid the price for you and me so that we could be set free, absolutely set free. One of the keys, the next key, if you want to step out and you want to get beyond your circumstance, wherever the enemy has you positioned or wherever you are at the moment, the next thing we've got to do is actually turn our eyes upon the Lord. We've got to look. We've got to look at Jesus. So my second point is look. And get rid of the distractions. Look at Jesus. Focus. Pay attention. You know, in Acts 3, I think it's verse 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them their attention. That's the first thing we've got to do, is we've got to get our eyes off our situation and look to God. God's saying, look at me. Would you put your attention back on me? Would you look at me? Because he wants us to just not look at any circumstance or any distraction, but to put our attention on him. And in Hebrews 12:2, it's a scripture that's well known that talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You know, the only reason that Jesus endured is because he never lost sight of where he was headed. He never lost sight of where he was headed. And that's like us. We've got to never lose sight of the promises we have in the Lord, of that which lie ahead, and that way we can endure no matter what your circumstances are. It's like Jesus. And, you know, there's so many things that can distract us in life, so many things that can get our attention off God and onto that, you know, to look at this, to look at that. Even when we go for a walk, it's like, wow, look, you know, look at that over there and look at that over there. And the Lord's like, will you just look at me? We just get so busy, don't we, and so caught up. And I just really want to encourage you not to lose your focus. Don't lose sight of what the Lord has for you, for your life. And my third point, listen. Listen, if you want to change your position, if you want to change where you're at now, if you want to be set free, if you want to break free, if you want to rise up, you need to listen, because you may need to actually do something. You may need to do something. I think sometimes when we're going through a difficult time, it's so easy just to say, oh Lord, just help me. You can do it. And I'll just sit here and do the same thing. Oh Lord, you can do it. You can change that situation. You do it, Lord. But the Lord is actually probably wanting us to actually do something about that. And I was listening to a worship leader, a little bit of a testimony that she was sharing. So she had a bone condition and she was in quite a lot of pain. And one morning she woke up and she said it just felt like the most oppressive, heavy thing, like in her room and over her bed. And she said it was just such a heaviness. And she said her bones and her body just ached. And she said it was just awful. And so she just said, Lord, just take it. Take it, take it, take it off me. And then she actually felt the Lord say, no, I want you to sing it off. She was like, no, Lord, this is just too much. Take it, just take it away, take it. And the Lord said again, no, I want you to sing it off. And then one more time, she just said, no, Lord. She got out of bed and she started walking and she went, no, this is too much. Take it, just take it now. And the Lord said, no, you've got to sing it off because I want to teach you about the power of the song in your life and who I am inside you. Sing your way out. And so then all of a sudden she said she walked out into her bathroom and all of a sudden the song began to rise up within her and she just began to sing out the song and immediately all that oppression, that heaviness, the pain, everything went. You know, there's a power inside of you, Holy Spirit power. There's a power of Christ inside of you. And we've got to realize that power that we have. And sometimes when we come through those situations where there's a heaviness and there's an oppressiveness and we're like, Lord, just take it. Maybe the Lord is wanting you to stand up, to rise up and praise his name and give him the glory. And, you know, this lame man in Acts 3, verse 6, it actually says, Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Do you know that lame man didn't actually receive strength until he was lifted up, until he was actually in that position to stand, and then immediately strength came into his feet and ankles. It was like when we have that power of a song inside, when we begin to praise the Lord, you know, it says we praise him for the spirit of heaviness. We give him praise and that they'll just go because praise is the power of heaven. But sometimes we're in those situations when we feel like the last thing we can do is stand up and shout out a praise and just thank the Lord because it seems tough, but it's the very thing we need to do. Because when we do, when we rise up, when we come out of that situation, when we can just stand, we'll get power, just like that lame man. Strength will come into our feet and our ankles. And it's really exciting. And we just got to get a revelation of who Jesus is in us. We've got to get a revelation of who he is because there's nothing more powerful than confident Christians. There's nothing more powerful when we can rise up and begin to stand in the name of Jesus and recognize that we have power and authority in his name when we recognize who it is that has actually gone before us. Like David, when he slayed Goliath, he was just a boy. Goliath was a giant, but he never looked at that circumstance or the size of that problem or the size of that situation. He just saw that his God was much bigger than that. His God was much bigger. And sometimes we've been sharing about faith, and we've got to activate faith. We've got to step out and know that our God's gone before us and that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, that we do not have to be stuck. We do not have to be sitting outside the temple gate, outside the presence of God, because he wants us to break off, to break free and come running towards him to have relationship with him. Amen? Amen. It's power in the name of Jesus. He just wants you to go in his name. And that's my last point. Stop, look, listen and go. In Acts 3 verse 8, talks about this lame man. When strength came, he started leaping. He leapt up. He stood and he walked and he entered into the temple with them, walking, leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. You know, in this passage of scripture, you know, there's a miracle here that we can see that God did something that naturally and in the physical seemed impossible, that he was born lame, this man. He relied on people to carry him every day to a spot. You know, when we walk, we can walk, we can position ourselves where we want, but he relied on someone to position him there, but he still had a mouth. He could have been put anywhere. But you know, the greatest miracle of this story is not that he got strength in his legs and he was absolutely radically healed, but now he was able to enter the temple, that he was able to enter into the presence of the Lord. And I just looked at that. This man went from sitting outside the outer court, outside. It was only through Jesus Christ that he began to rise up and that he was able to enter in to what God had purposed anyway, to have relationship and fellowship with him, to not be positioned watching everyone else come and go, everyone else get a miracle, everyone else hear from God, everyone else get a revelation. God's saying, I want you to come and I want you to go because he's got something for your life. He's got something for your life. And Jesus is all inclusive. I actually wanted to get a shirt, you know, those old World War shirts that say, we want you. I wanted to change it from we to he wants you, because he does. He wants you. He wants you to be part of his army, the army of the Lord. He wants you to draw near. And I was actually going to share as well, there's actually a movie that I quite like, and I'm sure most of you have seen it, Braveheart. And there's a battle scene where you see them all there with their shields, and I think Mel Gibson's saying, hold, hold, waiting, ready to advance. And, you know, the thing is that part of our spiritual armor is that the Lord has given us a shield of faith. And that shield of faith is for the fiery darts of the enemy. For every single thing that the enemy tries to fire and to put on you, we hold up that shield of faith. And it's like that army, they stand and they have that shield of faith ready. And what are they waiting for? They're wanting to advance, to go forward. And they never look back. And it's never about what's happened in the past. It's about every step they take is forward, a step of faith forward, advancing in faith forward. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, is have that shield of faith and begin to step out, take that step. And when we actually come together as a body, as a church, and it's like that picture of the army, when they're all lined up together on that battlefield and they all have their shields up, some have them above, there's an absolute protection and a covering that you get from every side when you come together in unity, and there's a strength and a power when the army move forward together. It's the body of Christ. There's something that happens when the church comes together in worship. You know, I love it when I'm up here and I can hear the church worshiping back. I love it when it's the whole body entering in to his presence together. And one of the keys is that also is that if you lose your focus, I just want to show you another story here in the Bible about someone that did lose their focus and just how easy it is and how it can change your perspective on everything when we actually lose our focus. So that story, that scripture is actually in John 5, so just a book back. I've made it easy today. So John verse 5. John chapter 5, sorry, verse 1. This is a little story here on what can happen when we lose focus, because this is another story of another lame man, and he was lame at that pool of Bethesda. And I'm sure you've probably heard this story preached as well. And just in verse 1 it says, "And after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. And now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years he had an infirmity. That's a long time. And he had been lying there, and it says here, with the multitudes, watching for the stirring of this water, waiting for that opportunity. So he had this infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and he knew he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? You know, that's a fairly close question. There's only two answers for that. Yes, no. And I was thinking about this man that was lying there, and you know, it was with the multitude, so a lot of other sick, lame, blind, paralyzed people amongst him, and you know, lying there and watching this water stir up and then people going in and getting their healing, and he'd been watching it. And you think, for having that infirmity, for carrying something for 38 years, if Jesus come and said to you, do you want to be healed? You'd be like, yes, hello, of course. But do you know what this man responded with? And I think this is so interesting. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool. I can't. I can't do it. I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. You know, when you can be amongst the crowds and the multitudes like that, there can be so much negativity and complaining. And I know Mum was saying to me when she was going up to the hospital for some treatment, and she said it's the first time she'd gone there and there are other people in the waiting room. And she said, I couldn't believe how negative it was. They were all saying, this is so terrible. Oh, this is just so awful. Oh, I can't imagine anything worse. It's just so terrible. I'm having such a terrible time. And suddenly they kind of looked amongst themselves and realized that Mum was sitting there. And they turned and they said to her, oh, isn't this just terrible? Don't you find it terrible as well? And Mum was like, no, it's actually been great. It hasn't been terrible at all. And they kind of sat there with their mouth open and said, oh, well, this just must be the first time you've been here. And I think she was like, oh, no, this is actually like my 12th time. And they were just, oh, how can someone have that kind of attitude? But it's different when you have Jesus in your life and that you know that he's with you and that he's going before you and he's got a purpose for your life, regardless of what we have to endure and what we have to go through. And this man, you know, rather than saying, yes, Lord, I want to be healed, I can't because someone always gets in front of me. And you know, in life, someone's always going to be getting in front of you. Someone's always going to be like you. If you sit and you want to be a spectator, you know, there's someone else that's always getting that word from the Lord. There's someone else that's always getting in front of you. There's someone else that's always getting that blessing. And why doesn't it happen to me, Lord? I always miss out. Don't you love me? You know, we can get to that kind of mindset. But Jesus does love you. And this is what the Lord responded to this man after he gave this big excuse as to why he couldn't get there and why he couldn't get healed. And the frustration, I guess, he must have felt with that circumstance. Jesus just said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And I believe that's the word of the Lord. The Lord's just saying to us today, just get up, rise up, just take up whatever it is that you've put in that position to make yourself comfortable, whether it's a pillow, whether it's a mattress, whether it's a drink, whatever it is, just rise, take up your mat and go. Get out of that position because he wants you to move into a position where you know his presence and his voice. We've got to get up, we've got to get ready, and the Lord is just wanting us to stand in faith. And I just feel like there's just such an urgency. There's such an urgency that the Lord is just wanting his people to come. He's not wanting every lie and distraction of the enemy to hold you back anymore. He's wanting you to come into the presence, into the Holy of Holies, the inner court, not the outer court. He wants you to come. He wants you to come. And, you know, the other week, I think I'd been up the front and we'd been praying for some people, and when I sat down to my seat, I actually really felt the Lord speak to my heart, because he's just speaking to me about intimacy with the Lord and just how some people find it really hard just to enter in into that intimacy because they've never known the love of a father in their own life and they've never had that relationship with family. And they find it really hard to, how do you have intimacy with God or relationship when I haven't seen that in my own life? And I just felt like the Lord was just saying, he just wants to show you a father's love if you would just take that step. If you would just step out, he just wants to show you what the love of a father can be. Because he loved you so much that he gave everything. John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. He's nothing else. He is love. That's all he knows. Romans 5:8, while we're still sinners, he died for us. While we're sinners, didn't wait for us to get saved, but while we're sinners, he thought, I want to set you free. And I saw this powerful thing the other day. It was actually another movie. You might think I watch a lot of movies. But it was actually of a man who had lost a daughter. And he really blamed God because he thought, how can you love me when I've lost my daughter? How is that fair? And he had three children. He had a young daughter and then another daughter and a son. And he was just like, how can this happen? Because the person that took the daughter away was just terrible. And so how could you let this happen? And the Lord just showed him and said, you know, no, I love everyone. You've got to understand the Father's love. And so he actually got him to sit on the throne. And he said, okay, now you've got two children left. One can go to heaven and one can go to hell. You decide. And the father stood there, of course, and went, I can't decide. I can't decide that. That's too hard. I love them both. I love them both the same. It's like, no, only one can go to heaven. One can go to hell. You decide. And the father again said, I can't make that decision. And so then he said, take my life instead so that my children can go to heaven. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He loves all of us unconditionally. And he went and he endured the cross for each one of our lives so that we could come. But we have to come. It's our choice. We have a free will. And that's what he's wanting. He's calling. He's wanting to call his church and his people to come to him. And we just got to get our eyes on him. And it's time to stand up and rise up in his name. And I'm just going to bring a song. And I don't know this morning where you are, what your position is at the moment. But I really feel that God's saying that he just wants you to step out, to begin to step out. Because he wants you to set free. He wants you to break free this morning. Whether it's stuff that you've been struggling with. And every week you're coming to church and you feel like, oh, I'm just not good enough and I can't enter in. It's such a lie of the enemy. You are good enough. And Jesus does want you to enter in. And just as I'm playing this song, if you feel like even that you just want to make that step, just come forward and kneel at the front here. But we'll make a time at the end if you want prayer or anything like that. But I was just singing because I was singing a song on the keyboard the other week. I was actually just worshiping, and this song came to me because I was just thinking about the love of the Father, how, you know, we were all destined to go to hell because it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, and the wages of wages of sin is death. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking what God did for us, that in his mercy he said, no, that I'm going to save you, that I'm going to set you free, and I'm going to make a way.